But there's a mod where instead of, I would say a mod, you can move his legs in such a way where these wheels will look like speakers and he kind of looks like the boombox again.
Sorry, when you said mod, I heard Jason Lamb perk his ears all the way from Hamilton.
Hello and welcome to episode number 43 of One More Podcastle, a podcast part of the Retroids.com podcasting network. My name is Eric Hunter. I have journeyed to places unknown far and wide, and I am also the audio engineer of said podcastle.
My name is Andrew Carrera. I'm the technical editor, and I have flown in and my arms are tired.
Nice.
Wah, wah.
I am Tom Hall. I am the N64 connoisseur. I am two decades late to the Super Nintendo, and I invented the question mark.
Nice. The question mark. That's
yes.
How are those royalties working out for you?
Not good. I got kind of, I didn't have the foresight to retain the, you know, the merchandising rights and things like that, so kind of screwed.
Oh.
Yeah. Nothing but bragging rights.
The only people that really win are the lawyers.
Yeah. It's true. So either way, I lose. But, you know, enjoy that question mark and, you know, with my compliments.
As you can hear, Jason and Bailey are not with us today. Apparently, they are better Americans than we are.
Even though one of them's Canadian.
Right. And, I mean, I worked today, so I think that I'm a very good American for working today. So
I didn't, but I have to work tomorrow. And so kind of freed me up for the evening since I got to do that sleep thing.
That what thing? What is that?
Oh, that thing when you sleep.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe you've heard of it.
I've heard. Yeah. Tales.
It's outstanding if you ever get the chance.
I've been told you sleep when you're dead.
Possibly, yeah. I'm not dead, personally, so I couldn't.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
Yeah.
So, speaking of awful Bailey segues, have you guys played any old video games lately? Ba-boom!
Zing! I did. I've played a few. I got a 3DS recently. Actually, an XL, because I'm an XL kind of guy. I got to the Virtual Console, and I downloaded Super Mario 1. The old NES original. And I gotta tell ya, not so good on the Virtual Console. And here's why. As Andrew experiments with funny facial hair in the Google
this
effects.
This is amazing!
Oh, no.
So, if you grew up playing Mario, you grew up playing it with an NES controller with A and B next to each other, horizontally. And when you play it on the 3DS, B and A are diagonal from each other, but X and A are across from each other. However, X does nothing. So you'll constantly be trying to perform a B function with the X button and nothing happens, and you die a lot, and it's not, it just doesn't feel right. You know what I mean? Like, it's the same.
Wait a second. So you say the 3DS XL, you said that the buttons are backwards?
No. I'm saying on the NES, the B and the A button are next to each other, horizontally, right?
Yes.
But the button pattern on the 3DS XL is more like the Super Nintendo, actually even less so, because it's like diamond. So B
gotcha.
And A are actually diagonal from each other.
So yep. So it would be like if you'd be running and then you're holding B, B would be the furthest button, and then A is
B would be the
one?
Bottom most button.
Okay.
So B is bottom most, and then A is the right button in the diamond. It's first base, if you will.
So think of a rhombus? He doesn't know what first base is.
Oh, that's right.
The Toronto Blue Jays are awful.
What are you talking about?
They don't
about?
Even know where first base is.
I'm the biggest baseballsman there is. Yeah. I get all the homers.
Well, see, that's interesting because, like, that's exactly what they did with the Super NES. So, like, any kind of platformer, it didn't end up being B and A anymore. It was Y and B or X and A.
But they kept B and A as the NES control buttons. So it's just weirdly out of place. So you're constantly, like, it's ingrained in my head. I played that way for, you know, God knows how many years. So I don't know if I'm ever going to be able to adjust to it or not, but it is nice to have it in my pocket, I guess, to be able to kind of flail through if I get the chance. Also did Legend of Zelda Oracle of Ages I started with. I got them both.
Nice. But
starting with Ages, it's, you know, a Zelda game so far, pretty good. My only complaint with that one is I'm not a big fan of the overworld music so far. I'm pretty early in. It could get better. But music's a pretty big part of the Zelda series. And the overworld is kind of,
I don't think it changes.
Yeah. So, I could probably still enjoy it, you know. But that's
Do you not like it just because it's different?
No. It's just not good. It just seems kind of, I don't know, generic, I guess would be a good word for it. Like, nothing special.
Which platform?
I'm also playing it on the Virtual Console.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, it was Game Boy Advance or Color?
No, it was Game Boy Color, I believe.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's still Zelda. It's still an enjoyable experience. So, that's me. That's what I've been playing, retro-wise.
Very good. Andrew!
Hey!
Now, you're a big PC guy, so fill in that gap.
I've been pretty busy with work recently. But what I did have a chance to play, though, and I'm sure that we've talked about this on the podcast before, but I played, now I can't remember the name of it. It's the one that got, it's the space sim that got kickstarted. It's a roguelike.
Faster than light?
You move little dudes around your ship, and you have to get to the end. Oh, man.
Faster than light.
Yeah, FTL.
Faster than light, FTL, yeah. It's so good.
It is really
good. It is a really good game. It's short, though.
It is short, but you... Like, I keep on going back to replay it. I don't think I've been able to... Like, maybe I've beaten it once on difficult, but beyond that, no. It's... Yeah. But I keep on coming back, although I'm kind of learning the systems now, where it's like, come help us. We're on this planet. We're dying. And I'm like, no, you're good.
I want nothing of that.
Yeah.
I'm just going to come over, and you're just going to steal my stuff.
Yeah.
My second in command's like, oh, who's that on the radio? No one. It was no one on the radio. Let's go.
Fire! Fire everything! Kill him now, Mr. Sulu.
You guys have played FTL before, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fantastic game. No, I haven't played in a while, though. It's been like maybe 6 months since I've touched it, but loved it, though.
Do you usually like name your characters after any people you know in real life or anything like that?
No, but I do try to name my ship inappropriate things.
Such as?
The Salty Rooster. Is usually the name, and I'll just leave that to interpretation. I'll let you figure that one out. Hunter's squinting like he's trying to crack a safe, but...
Urban Dictionary.
No, that's a bad idea. It's always a bad idea when you start with Urban Dictionary.
I will figure it out.
I'll just give you a hint. The joke of it is in the rooster portion, Hunter.
Oh. I don't get it.
Well, I'll explain when we're not on the air, because I don't think that's part supposed to... be part of right, the castle. So I'll tell you later.
All right, just send me a direct message. So I loaded up Mighty Final Fight for the NES. If you ever played that, it's basically just a very toned down version of the Final Fight arcade or SNES. They added some moves to the characters, like Cody has a very tiger uppercut kind of thing, and Guy has this weird spin kick. Cartwheel, great game. Just a NES beat 'em up. Can't really go wrong with that. Some of the parts is kind of funny because, like, right before you fight a boss, there's like a cutscene, if that's really what you want to call it in an NES game, as a cutscene. But there's dialogue, but it doesn't show who's talking to who. So, like, the first couple of fights, I'm like, am I arguing with myself, or is he talking to himself? Or
maybe it's like a Fight Club thing where at the end it was all in your head.
It was you all along.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's possible. Oh, and so there's a bunch of spots, which I don't remember this from the original Final Fight, where there's actually opened areas where you can just fall down pits. So if you're playing as Cody and you're beating somebody up and he goes into that three-hit combo tiger uppercut thing, it moves over like 10 pixels and you can shoot straight down into the pit if you don't like time it correctly, if you don't get out of the way fast enough. So that's kind of a pain. main. I play as Haggard because he's the best anyway in any game that he's in. Because he's a wrestling mayor.
Wrestling mayor or mayor?
Mayor. Mayor. He is not a horse that I am aware of.
Just checking. It could be like a centaur situation or something.
Yes. Yes. I also played Deja Vu. I picked up recently. Fun game. I enjoy it. It's uber time consuming trying to move the cursor around. Because it's like, I know what I want to do. I just want to open this door. I just want
to
open.
Is that the one? Did Bailey bring that one time to the showdown?
He did, and he lost.
Is that the one where, like, half the screen is a HUD?
Yeah, no, it's more than half the screen. It's like 70% of the screen is either your inventory or the options and dialogue. And then you've got this tiny little window that you play through, and you're trying to figure out where the doors are and stuff. Oh, and you have to open every door before you walk through it.
Oh, that's the one you were complaining about on Twitter the other day.
Oh, my God. It just doesn't make any sense. Like, I know what doors do. They open and they close. That's it. That's all that doors do. So if I want to move through the door and it's closed, why doesn't it just automatically? Oh, no, you got to open it first. Oh, do I really? Just can't, you know, spirit walk into it?
Apparently doors also frustrate you. So that's three things they do.
Doors are almost as bad as math. Almost as bad.
Yeah, well, yeah, let's not get carried away.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Let's keep this semi-reality. So.
Yeah.
it was just annoying. Because it's like a great game. It's a great storyline. Like, it's a book. It's something like, if it was a book, I'd love to read it. Just because of the time frame, and it's like, you know, you don't know what's going on, and you got all these clues, and you're trying to figure it out. It's very Bourne Identity, I guess, before there was a Bourne Identity.
So how long is this game?
I mean, if you know what you're doing, you could probably cruise through it in, like, 30 minutes.
So how long would it take you if you didn't have to already open the doors before walking through?
Like probably, 15? I would say, if I really sat down to play the game and tried to beat it, it's probably going to be, like, a three-hour excavation for me. But if I didn't have to constantly hit open, door, move, door, I could probably cut that down to, like 105. Stupid doors.
The bane of your existence.
Yeah, like, I don't know. Oh, and I kind of wanted to bring this up because I thought it was interesting. Have you guys heard of the Action 52 Owns project?
No.
Action 52, if you guys are aware of Action 52. Collection of games that were god-awful and was sold for $150 when it first came out. Now it's like uber rare and everybody wants it because the angry video game nerd reviewed it and... Oh! So...
That was his review. There's just that.
Right. There's a group of game developers, indie game developers, that are taking each individual Action 52 game and remaking it into something that's fun to play. And one of the games that came out of that is a game called Streamers, which was a crappy clown kind of bionic commando thing that somebody turned into like a really cool puzzle platforming action game. It was originally released for Flash. The guy made it in Flash, and then a indie gaming company, ported it to the NES as an NES ROM that you can actually, like, play with an emulator. And one of the biggest issues that people complain about with the NES version is there aren't achievements in the game.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So, like, in the Flash version, there's achievements if you, you know, if you go the, like, jump up to a certain level or if you get so many money bags or anything like that. But they didn't put that in the NES version for obvious reasons.
Because there are achievements?
No achievements in the... It's... I mean...
If it's tracking against... If it's in Flash, what are the achievements tracking against? Just the fact that something pops up?
Yes. Just the fact that, hey, look at you. You did it. Yeah. There you go. That's it.
There's no record of this in some public place that you achieved it? Just kind of like a pat on the back? Digital pat on the back?
Yeah, it's a high five. It's a high five.
Oh.
Just something to complain about. Just not happy otherwise. It's amazing.
The whole achievement thing to me, because, like, I don't play a lot of newer games, and I know a lot of newer games have achievements and shit you can unlock. I mean, is that something you guys really play into?
I'm kind of an achievement whore, but not for any other reason than I just personally like trying to, I have to do this thing that's outside of my comfort zone within the game. All right. challenge accepted. But if they don't exist, it doesn't stop me from enjoying the game, because they're gravy to the game. The game is your meal. Enjoy the meal. The achievements are not a necessary portion of the game. They're just extra.
Right.
I think for myself, I don't even care about achievements, but like if an achievement pops up for something useless, I completely don't care about it. But if it's something pops up where the game recognizes I was doing something completely asinine and calling me out on it, I actually really like that.
Oh, I do like that too.
If you're just like, oh, I'm trying to find this secret or something, and you're rolling against a wall or something, just like all the way down, and then something pops up and it says like cranial damage, roll into 50 walls, but it's secret and you wouldn't know about it normally. Like that's fun.
Yeah, well, that's like the game's thinking. You know, like it's the whole metagame aspect of it. Like, okay, we know you're playing a game and you're doing something really silly.
I also like ones that have clever names to them, or they're like a reference to something. Like, I'm thinking of the first Gears of War. When you defeated the Berserker enemy, the achievement was called "My Love for You is Like a Truck," which is a reference to the first Clerks movie.
Oh, yeah.
Berserker. Yeah, exactly. I like achievements like that, where there was like just some fun put into them, you know.
Yeah, but I mean, get 50 headshots with this rifle is kind of disgusting.
Unless you're really good with the rifle, I guess.
There you go.
Then it's less of an achievement and more of a tracker, I guess. But...
a track record of shame.
The absence of the achievement, though, should not, you know, deride the game at all.
No.
Out of the way, Roseanne!
You guys want to do a discussion question?
Yeah.
Do I ever...
All right, this one is from Chris Owens. He says, "Hi guys, happy anniversary." I don't know what that means. My discussion question is...
the site turned 1 year old, Hunter.
Oh, that was like forever ago. All right, anyway. All right, my discussion question is, what is your favorite retro game controller? And he also gives a suggestion for the showdown... as a system launch games. So that might be kind of cool. Favorite retro game controller, Tom Hall?
Super Nintendo. It was simple enough, but it had...
You're wrong, Tom.
...button options. I'm not wrong. First of all, I'm never wrong. Hunter. I thought we covered that in the pre-show.
But, right.
I don't know. I just personally liked it more. It was... I really liked the NES controller, but I didn't like all of the edges. They were kind of uncomfortable. It rounded that off, the Super Nintendo controller did. Had plenty of buttons, had the little shoulder guys, but I didn't have triggers and sticks and handles. And it was simple, but it gave enough variety. So that's mine.
Okay, that's wrong. Andrew.
Okay. So I picked the Nintendo 64 controller.
Hold on.
So, okay. It's actually, like, if we look at it now, it's garbage. It's just completely unintelligible. There's three prongs. Where do I put my hands? I have no idea. But it's got the analog stick. If it wasn't for the analog stick, we'd still be using D-pads.
Ah, that's a good point, I guess.
That's true, but I do find myself using D-pads when they're available, even now. Like, when a game supports it.
Yeah. But, I mean, imagine how bad Super Mario 64 would have been if you were just trying to move around with a D-pad. In fact, you don't really have to imagine, because you can just play every old PS1 game.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, like Resident Evil, it's nothing but tank controls. That's one of the worst control schemes I've ever used.
Yeah. So, yeah, my choice, N64 controller for not the horrible three-prong nightmare, but the analog stick.
Okay, also wrong.
So, okay.
Sorry. The correct answer we were looking for was the Sega Genesis controller.
Oh, okay.
The Sega Genesis controller. Now, here's why. Because not only does it work with the Sega Genesis and the Genesis 2 and the Genesis 3, you can also use it for your Atari 2600. You can use it for your Commodore 64. Because all of the ports were the same.
So what happens if you don't want to use it in the first place? Then you've got all these uses for nothing.
Well, that's just that would never happen. That would never happen. I will say this. I think that, especially the six-button controller, I think that one was my favorite. Especially for, like, 2D fighters, like Street Fighter. Where it dies is, like, Mortal Kombat. Where you've got your, you know, X, Y, Z, A, B, C. And the two buttons in the middle, which would be Y and B, are your block buttons. And you got your high punch, your low punch on one side, and your high kick and low kick on the other side. And you're trying to do, like, a button that you have to hit, like, the low punch, block, and low kick at the same time. Like, maybe, like, Sub-Zero slide. And rather than using your thumbs, you actually have to go, like, fingertip style and do it. Like, that was awful. Those games are awful with that Genesis controller. Just the worst.
You make such a great argument. I'm so compelled.
I know.
Everybody should have a six-button Genesis controller for everything.
I do, actually. I do have one.
You should have two, Tom.
For my Genesis needs. Why? I'm the only one playing. I only have two hands here.
Yeah, but you got your feet.
It's true. I rarely play two-player using my feet, though. No. Rarely.
Because you can get, like, a USB connector and tie it to your PC. You can play all those sweet indie platforming games with it.
Hmm. Oh, yeah. I've been using the 360 controller for that. Because it had the USB port on it.
Yeah, I'm waiting for my converter in the mail.
Yeah, you can get some pretty sweet converters for USB to whatever old controller you want. I had one that actually connected to GameCube controller, and that took me through most of university.
Wow. See, now the GameCube controller, the D-pad was so small.
Oh,
like, I felt like I got robbed.
The game controller is really interesting because, like, you could see how they were considering to design it. Because it has this massive green A button. So if you're trying to get your parents to play, you're like, look, big, big, big button, use this one. And then the B button's secondary, and all of the layout kind of grows out from the A button, which is really interesting. But, yeah, that D-pad's terrible.
Yeah.
Not a good D-pad.
Yeah, because there's always that, there's the disc D-pad that the Genesis controller had, then there's just, like, the box D-pad, like the NES. So there's always that battle of who has the best D-pad. Like, I remember reading about the Ouya controller when they were designing it. Like, all the dev kits had the disc D-pad. And I was like, no, we need to change this. Nobody wants the disc D-pad. And I was like, I want the disc D-pad. That's the best one. I can roll it 360. Now it's like, you know, it's a little stiff and everything, and it's awful.
I've heard complaints on the Ouya controller.
Yeah. I've heard that too. And apparently it's pretty hard to get the PlayStation 3 controller to sync up properly.
Well, I mean, you're not supposed to use the PlayStation 3 controller. You're supposed to use the Ouya controller with the Ouya, Andrew.
Okay. So Tom, do me, you, and the police over here want to do a retro showdown?
What?
Shouldn't we have a musical interlude first?
Music break? We'll be right back. And welcome back. That was
Man-Made Messiah by Fox Energy.
If you enjoyed that, you can download it on the podcast page. And now it is time for what I've been waiting for, the Retro Showdown.
Retro Showdown!
The Retro Showdown is pretty typical. It's where me and my other fellow co-host have picked a game at random that neither of us know about. And then we basically just argue about who picked the best game. So before we get started, 2 weeks ago, for episode number 41, Bomb Arrows, the theme was Bear Games, and the winner was Bailey with Ice Climber. I don't know why. 9 votes. Hog Bear got 5, and 3D Hunting Grizzly got 2. So I'm guessing Jason voted for himself twice. It's pretty bad. That's all right. Hog Bear. I like Hog Bear. It's a fun game.
Never heard of it.
It's a fun game. You should check it out. Way better than Ice Climber.
Yeah, I didn't really like Ice Climber.
Okay, Andrew has elected to be our timekeeper for this evening. Thank you, Andrew. And if you got a minute on the clock, I am ready to go.
You may begin.
Okay, my pick for this week, I went with a game that holds a very special place in my heart. A game about a simple being a long way from home, trying desperately to get back to where he wants to be. He's alone, he's scared, and everyone is looking for him. A game so influential that its design is echoed in such games as Metroid, that can only one man could have created such a masterpiece. After struggling against the odds, you journey back to your home planet where it's safe and where people love you. Of course, I'm speaking of one of the best-known games in video gaming history, E.T. Extraterrestrial for the Atari 2600.
You have 10 seconds left. You can do whatever you want. Do you want to say boom again, maybe? All right, that's good. Okay, so I will put 1 minute on here for myself, and I will begin. Citizen Kane, The Godfather, Part 2, Casablanca. Although these are all very historic and influential movies, they hardly approach the craft and magic inherent in 1998's most memorable game. This amazing game had the player crossing a fantasy world to collect items that will aid him in sealing away an evil power. This heroic epic spans 8 epic worlds, with a hub world that is not to be forgotten. The game is hilarious, fun, and dare I say, a work of art. The game is, of course, Gex. Enter the Gecko.
Wow.
I'm done. I got it.
You're out of seconds?
Yeah, I think I made a pretty good argument.
Phew. Man, how do I follow up those intros?
I was going to say, you're in trouble, Tom.
Gosh.
You are in trouble?
You know, I think I'm just going to breathe, relax, and then I'm just going to bring the thunder. I think that's how I'm going to do it. Yeah. Yeah. If you have a minute, Andrew.
Well, you have a minute to bring the thunder, starting now.
This week, I decided to take a page out of Jason Lamb's book and go with the 1991 release of SimAnt for the Macintosh. That's right, SimAnt. As you play as a single black ant in a colony of ants whose sole purpose is to take over an entire backyard and kick a family and their pets out of their house. It featured 3 modes, a full game mode, a quick game mode, and a sandbox mode. And during the full game mode, you'd have to look out for stuff like insecticides, like people's feet, water, and of course, the evil red ants. It was an amazing game, and it was the basis, according to Will Wright, of The Sims. That's SimAnt for the Macintosh.
Wow.
Ding. Thanks.
I got your back.
You're a good friend. Except for, like, the next 10 to 15 minutes. You're going to ridicule me.
No. I'm going to SimAnt. SimAnt.
Here's to you, Jason.
Yes, yeah. Wow.
It's like the people playing the the instruments as the Titanic goes down. Here's to you, Simant.
Woo! Simant!
Yeah, sorry guys. I just had to bring that on you.
Simant. Okay, so, go.
Okay, so let me get this straight. The concept is that you are aspiring as an ant to kick out a family, a human family, who lives in their human house. Is that true?
Well, as an ant, you don't know that's your objective. Really, you just know that you're an ant. But as the human player controlling the ant, you have to sim your way into complete backyard domination. And then, once that's not enough anymore, you go right into the house. You get all up in their food. You bite their feet while they sleep. Actually, I don't know if you do that, but that would be cool. And eventually, they hit the bricks.
You don't even know?
Well, I don't know if you bite them while they sleep. It wasn't really a game mechanic, but you do eat their food, and you have to look out for, like, outlets and the drain. You know, watch out for the drain.
So this is like the Breaking Bad of video games, is what you're saying. Like, you start off as this ant, you don't really know
too much. Amazing and everyone loves it?
And then you're just like, at the end of it, you're just trying to strangle some human in their sleep by like all forming together and creating like hands or something. Is that pretty much it?
That would be cool. If you could, you could form like the Antatron. That would be awesome. No. Actually, the end screen just kind of shows the family and one of the pets like with like the pinwheel eyes. Like you drove them completely crazy and so they had to leave. That's like the end screen when you completely... When you defeat all of the red ants, the red ants are the black ants' mortal enemy. It's like the ultimate gang fight simulator. It's like a nature gang fight. That's another thing you have to worry about. You have to get the humans, you have to get the red ants. All of those things have to go.
So if I was going to play a game based on probably the most widely known annoying insect in the world, I would play Simant.
Right, and then once you did, you would understand their plight. And maybe, just maybe, you and the ants would become a little bit closer.
Yeah, my foot squashing them. That's what I normally do.
No, you have to avoid that. That's actually one of the game mechanics. Look out for that foot. It is lethal. It is like Chuck Norris's feet.
And water? Water is also a...
Well, not just like a drop of water, but a lot of water could drown you. There's also spiders and antlions and things that'll eat you out there. You gotta watch out for.
Are there kids with magnifying glasses? Or...
I was trying to remember if there was or not, and I seem to remember that there was, but I can't guarantee that there is, so I left that part out. I don't want to make false promises here.
Like the strangling. The ant strangling.
Actually, Andrew came up with that.
Oh. Yeah.
When he likened it to Breaking Bad, a most beloved and respected show.
Never seen it.
Just like this game is. Yeah.
No, I've played some.
So how
it's
about
not very good.
A guy who brings a game to the showdown that has several thousand copies buried in a desert somewhere?
Okay. So first, obviously, that's an urban legend. It's not just ET cartridges. There's a whole bunch of crap that's buried. If there's anything buried.
It's just mostly ET cartridges.
Like other Atari carts. Maybe some controllers?
Now, okay, so here's what plagued E.T. and why nobody likes it. And I'm going to explain why all of you are wrong. Okay, you ready? So, the game was created in 6 weeks by a single guy. Just one guy. 6 weeks. Never seen the movie. They wanted the game to be released the exact same time that the movie got released. So here's the problem with that in the beginning. The movie ended up being a huge success, right? How can you live up to something that big? I mean, just with anything, you know, especially if you've never even seen the movie. So the guy knew that it was about an alien, and the alien was named was E.T., and he had a friend, Elliot, a human, who was going to help him. And then he just created something brand new. He didn't, you know, it wasn't like Street Fighter, the movie, the game, where it's the exact same game. It's not a simulation game, like every simulation game. And it's not a mix-up of a bunch of crappy games with a bad-talking gecko. You know, it was something completely different. Now, the fact that they made 10 times more copies than there were 2600s at the time, you know, they probably shouldn't have did that. But that wasn't the programmer's fault. That was the developer's fault. Yeah, it's an awful movie.
A guy who didn't see the movie made a game based on the movie.
Correct.
And that tells you everything you need to know about E.T. for the 2600.
No.
And your logic also follows the path that, hey, it's a licensed game. Come on.
Well,
you remember E.T. You liked that movie, didn't you?
Nobody knew that E.T. was going to be a big hit. Nobody knew that.
Except Steven Spielberg.
He was pretty confident, yeah. I'm sure. Yeah.
He's probably like day one on set. He's like, ready to make some money, guys?
Is this going to be my money maker?
And probably walked in a pimp suit.
Yeah, with a diamond cane.
He spends half the time on set calling about the bags so he can put the money in for later. I need big bags, big dollar signs on them, okay?
Specific. Oh, yeah, the burlap sacks, you mean? Yeah, those are good.
All I'm saying is that this game, it is a great game for the time, and I'm just going to ignore that from you, Andrew. It was a great game for the time, and it had a huge barrier to overcome, and I mean, I don't think there's a lot of games that could have did that.
Actually, I know about these barriers that it had to overcome. One of which is the giant pit that you generally get stuck in.
Right. Well, you know, you don't have to. You can avoid them. You know, just because you're bad at the game, Andrew, doesn't make the game bad. So.
Well, Hunter.
Yeah.
Hunter, I just want to point out that Andrew brought Gex.
He did.
And he described it as if he was talking about Ocarina of Time.
Or E.T.
Yeah, maybe not so much that one. But definitely, did we play the same Gex, Andrew?
Yeah, you know, the one where he has the grand adventure and he says all those funny lines. Hilarious.
This was back in the 90s era when everybody had to be a kind of like a hardcore bad Mamma Jamma kind of a character. Everybody had attitude.
Oh, yeah. And they said stuff like cowabunga and such.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's why the Ninja Turtles were so popular. Why didn't you bring a Ninja Turtles game? Those are good.
Yeah.
I brought Gex. Would have been a great idea. It is the pinnacle of comedy.
Is he selling insurance in this game?
This was before Geico. Geico ripped off Gex. That's a thing that's true.
I think that this game was so terrible that Gex got fired and then had to resume a career of selling insurance.
Better insurance than underground.
Urban legend. Now.
Loose cannon.
I don't know if they decided that they wanted to make a game that was based, because it's basically a parody game, right, Andrew? Would you agree with that? It's a parody game?
I would say it is a platforming game with parody and humor elements.
So it's a parody game?
No.
Sounds like it.
I wouldn't say that.
Well, humor is its number one standpoint.
Well, no, because it's not parodying a specific game. Like, it has elements of parody in it, but it's not exactly ripping off a specific game, gameplay-wise. I mean, what other games do you zoom into televisions?
Well, I mean, lots of them.
Oh, actually, yeah.
Yeah.
Most of them, yeah.
It's kind of a really tight trip.
But I mean, it's like a parody of a parody. Like, they took every popular everything at that time, and they just threw it into this game.
And by Euler's law of reversals, that means it's the best thing ever to exist ever.
No. Wait, what was that? Who's law?
You'll get it on the when you watch it again.
Andrew's law.
No,
bullshit. Is that what it was?
It's something that you can't do.
Wait, let me look that up. Andrew's law of bull.
Oh, what does it say? Nope. What does it say, Hunter?
Oh, wait a second. Well, you got a Robert Andrew Salon and Spa. Is that is that you?
That's
or?
Another place Gex had to work after this game.
Yeah. Yeah. And they made so many of these games.
Says the guy whose of their cards are buried underground.
No, I mean, allegedly. I'm not talking about... it's urban legend. But no, I'm talking about, like, there's so many sequels to Gex for whatever reason.
So, okay, there's a couple of sequels to Gex. How many sim games are there, Tom? How many?
Oh, there's so many sim games.
Oh, there's many sim games, but how many sim ant? Just one. And I will add this.
Yeah, it was one too many.
Will Wright actually said that he got the idea for The Sims from this game.
No.
Yes.
Yeah, he's actually two.
Because of the people in the house.
I don't believe that.
Look it up.
Yeah, it works out. It's the same system that they used. It's like the system of pheromones they use in Sim Ant is the same system that they used for The Sims, because if someone's like, oh, I'm sad, I'm going to look at a picture because there's a picture nearby. And they go look at the picture and they just do it.
I'll give you another one. The manual for this game. The manual. You remember when games had manuals, you guys? Do you remember? Wasn't that cool?
Vaguely.
I do.
This one, yeah, actually, like a third-ish of it was actually the game manual, and the rest of it was like a comprehensive study on ants. It was insanely educational. And that is why I think it was in like my fourth or fifth grade class. We got to play this like all the time. It was also a learning experience.
Was there a requirement for copy protection somewhere in there? And it's like, oh, to be able to tell you that this isn't a pirated copy, please tell me how many something's an ant has.
This was before EA bought Maxis, so no.
I don't want to be an ant. I don't.
Right. Well, here's another thing you have to avoid is buried copies of E.T. You have to look out for those when you're making your nest.
Urban legend. Urban legend.
We have a show title.
So, why does Gex collect carrots? Do geckos like carrots?
Well, Gex collects whatever item that is in the themed zone. So he collects carrots in the comic cartoony zone, but he's also collecting skulls in the horror zone.
So whatever game he's parodying, they change what he does.
Genre.
Yeah, sorry. Parody. This is just another poor attempt to cash in on Mario 64. That's all this was.
What?
Yeah, that's...
Cash in? You brought E.T. and you said that it was a cash in.
No, the movie was a cash in.
No, that was something that we said, but you said the game was a cash in.
No, I didn't say that.
So, which version of this game have you brought? Yeah?
Oh, I brought the Nintendo 64 version.
Oh, of course he did. With the awful controller.
You brought Gex 64.
Yeah.
It hurts my soul. It hurts my soul.
Interesting.
So whatever happened to Gex? That's what I want to know.
I don't know, man.
Probably hanging out with Bubsy, I guess.
Is he still... Yeah, I was going to say, is he hanging out with Bugsy, smoking cigarettes, talking about the good old days?
Yeah, probably. But to be honest, he's got some good company, like... Conker, pretty much everybody that Rare created outside of Banjo-Kazooie.
It's true.
Yeah, pretty much all the characters that didn't get included in that new PlayStation Smash Brothers game.
Did you guys read the article about Microsoft when they bought Rare? They thought they were getting Donkey Kong.
Yeah.
Is that true?
Could you imagine?
Yeah, it's true, because apparently somebody brought to the table that they wanted to make a Donkey Kong game, and everybody's like, oh, well, we can't. Nintendo owns that. And they're like, no, we own Rare. We can do whatever they want. And we're like, no, not Donkey Kong.
It had to be just like one guy who's like, oh, man, I'm late this morning and I have no idea what video games are, but I'm going to make $1 million today.
Boom, Donkey Kong. I would rather play Donkey Kong than Gex 64.
Which Donkey Kong?
Mm-hmm.
Any of them. Yeah. Donkey Kong Math.
Donkey Konga.
I kind of like Donkey Konga. I thought Donkey Konga was fun.
Wait, is that the one with the bongos?
Yes. Yeah. Holy cow, this game retailed for $64.99 when it came out.
Gex?
Yeah.
Yeah. People forget games were expensive back then. It's always been expensive.
I would feel totally ripped off. That's all I'm going to say. Totally ripped off. I mean, I could have Sim Ant with the floppy disks and still be very upset that I have Sim Ant.
No. You would be really happy. You'd be like, I'm playing the future of gaming at its time.
Well, but what compels somebody to make a game based off a nuisance of an insect?
Oh, insanity.
You know what I mean, though? Maybe. It's like usually...
Insanity
like,
breeds genius.
Like, when I think about making games... Yeah, okay. When I think about making games, I always think about, okay, what game would I really love to play? Like, would I want to be like a badass, like... Norse god you know, taking out planets, or do I want to be an ant?
According to the Book of Knowledge, he was actually inspired by some other dude's study of ant colonies. That's what why he did ants specifically.
Rhett's in our comments is confirming that Will Wright, creator of Sim Series, got the idea for the Sims while working on Sim Ant. So that's a third party.
Yeah, because The Sims was such a popular series. How many iterations are there of those? God.
I think they're working on the fourth one now, aren't they?
Well, they just brought out Paradise Island.
The Sims, as you know it now, is not The Sims as it was created. This is EA's Sims. That's why you have stuff like Katy Perry Sims and...
Just like how the new SimCity is like EA's SimCity.
Right.
It's not the original Maxis creation. Hopefully they don't do another SM Ant one day.
No, why would they?
Tom, could you just go back in time and instead of bringing Sim Ant, just bring SimCity 3000 and I'll just agree with you?
Yeah, I'd probably agree with you too.
No, I didn't want to do that because it's not as good as Sim Ant.
You are nuts. You're a crazy person. And not the crazy person that breathes genius. The bad kind of crazy.
Definitely not.
Super genius.
So how do you play this game with the keyboard?
Keyboard and mouse.
Who plays games with a keyboard and mouse?
Lots of people.
Crazy. I'll never understand it.
People actually play first-person shooters that way, believe it or not.
That's ridiculous. I would never do that. That just makes me sick to my stomach just thinking about it.
I couldn't play a first-person shooter that way, I must admit. But that's because I was bred on consoles.
So much easier.
Oh, no, it's awful.
See?
So much easier, so much precise.
There's a keyboard and mouse guy right there.
I don't want to play with WADs, Andrew. I don't want to play with WADs.
You can play with the arrow keys, too. I have to look down at the computer.
That's just a.
I was like, what else can you use here?
That's just a bad D-pad, is all the arrow keys are.
Yes, it's exactly what it is. And the mouse is a poor excuse for an analog stick.
Yep.
Oh.
I'd have to agree with you there. Nope, there's no Jason's here.
He's going to come through the internet and kill us.
You have no friends in this room.
Okay, so I've played Gex 64. I've played Sim Ant. If I had to pick between the two of your games, I would probably pick Gex 64 because it reminds me more of better games that I've played. But if I was really looking for a challenge, I would play E.T. Extraterrestrial.
By challenge, do you mean a frustrating nightmare?
It's not that frustrating.
A disgusting mess of a game?
Now, Tom, I'll say this again because apparently you didn't hear me the first time. But just because you're bad at a game doesn't make it a bad game.
Unless it is a bad game, in which case it totally makes it a bad game.
No.
What is the core gameplay loop of E.T.? Because as far as I understand, it's just go right until you fall in a hole and then throw it out.
No, it's all about exploration. So you are there to...
Left or right or just right?
You can go left or right or up or down or however the levels are set up for where you're at specifically. But you're trying to find all of the pieces of the phone to phone home.
Why doesn't he just buy a new phone?
Eventually he can get to like a Radio Shack or something. Yeah, but he's an alien. He just has to walk into a store and they'll all freak out and run away.
Yeah, back then, Radio Shacks had all the things. You could get anything you wanted there.
No, he doesn't want to do that. No,
that's an unnecessary game. Yeah.
No. What? No. No.
The more he explores, the more chance he has of being discovered and then dismembered.
Right. Oh, I don't want that. Because everybody wants him gone. Okay, listen. So here's the real kicker with the game. So I'm sure you've seen the movie, correct? Everybody's seen the movie E.T., right?
That's the one with the dinosaurs, right?
I don't even know what that means. Anyway. So the whole Reese's Pieces thing, and that's how they guide him out, you know, to come out from the closet and that kind of thing so that Elliot can talk to him. But in the game, you need candy to entice Elliot to give you a piece of the phone. So you have to bargain for your life to get the equipment that you need to hop off the planet.
So, Hunter, got a question. Why is Elliot a sadistic, candy-loving monster?
That's what I'm saying. The whole world is against you.
Did this game come with a shovel peripheral so you could bury it yourself?
Oh, that's all right. That's enough. Okay. That's final. No, we're doing final arguments. I'm not taking this urban legend stuff anymore. It's over. All right. Andrew Carrero, why would anybody pick your crappy platformer?
You should pick Gex, because Gex is the best thing. I'm looking at my notes here. I'm like, okay, what can I say? Gex is amazing. It is the best, most hilarious game, and it deserves your time and your vote. Hope. Change. I'm watching you.
Awful. Tom Hall, why would anybody vote for Sim Ant?
Wait, back up a second. You have notes? That's a good idea. I'll try that next time. Anyway, Sim Ant. You should vote for Sim Ant because it's an amazing classic simulation experience. You get the strategy of dominating an area, and it is the basis for the current game we know as The Sims. It is educational and fun and has a lot of variety. Sim Ant.
All right, and you should really vote for E.T. for the Atari 2600, because it's a game like any other that has never been replicated since because of its amazing honesty when it comes to the soul and being so utterly alone, traveling forward.
Or down.
Or down.
Mostly down.
Sometimes. No, sometimes. To make your way home.
Jeez. To a nondescript bit of desert in New Mexico.
Ah, urban legend. Urban legend. Alrighty, I want to thank the interlude artist.
Fox Synergy.
I want to thank Mr. Ben Landis for using his intro and outro. If you want to download the intermission track, you can on the podcast page at onemorecastle.com/podcast. Tom, Andrew, shout-outs? Anybody got any shout-outs?
Oh, let's do a random Twitter shout-out. I'll talk about me in the meantime while I find one. As always, you can follow me on Twitter at Ocarina of Tom. You can catch my writes at officialvghc.com and, of course, onemorecastle.com. And my random Twitter shout-out, I tell you what, how about Natalie at somethingPC? Go follow Natalie. She's a good friend, and she's good people.
I think I do follow Natalie.
Well, then, that was fast. Good job.
Yeah. Oh, no, we had chatted earlier. I could be...
Oh, okay. Well, cool. Maybe other people will follow her now.
That's right, because it's Chief something or other, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
She's told me how to say that like 100 times, and I still can't pronounce it.
I wasn't following her. I am now. Andrew!
You can follow me on Twitter at Arcade Error Win. And look for my work when we put out Review a Bad Game Day coming in August. So you guys can all join in on that one. I'd also like to give a shout out to the people who are here with us doing live recording. Rhett's Gaming Days, G1 Noble Team, Chris Burchell, Valerie Minich. All you guys have been great. Thank you for watching, putting up with us, etc.
Excellent.
Enjoying the dead air.
Right. I think we've done okay. You can follow me on Twitter at Eric Hunter. My blog is ericmhunter.net. And my Twitter shout out goes to, well, hell, I shout out to you guys. Thank you for joining me tonight. On short notice, I'm sure it was. It's been fun. I am honored.
Thanks.
Tom, Andrew.
It was fun.
Thanks, Eric. Honored. You're the man, Hunter.
You're so good. I can't believe you're
Rodney. My privilege, sir. My privilege.
My privilege.
And my axe.
Wow. All right. Yeah. And for the rest of you, remember, you are a bad enough dude to rescue the president. See you next week.